Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Oh, my favorite gal who does that commercial, her name is Kim. She did it quite a few years ago for me. And we'll bring my guest on in a moment. But first I want to talk about the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. I'll be doing the issue, as a matter of fact, tomorrow. Oh, today's the 26th, so I'll be starting it probably tomorrow. It takes me about 3 days. All the images, all, you know, the pictures that I have to put in, the links that I have to put in. Then I send it back to the author and make sure that's okay. Sometimes we have to fine-tune it. Oh, no, that paragraph's not right. I got to change it and all that. So it takes me 3 or 4 days. By the time the first comes up, August 1st will come up. That's when the magazine will go up. I started the magazine back in 1999, so I've been doing this a long time. You know, it's amazing what I do. But anyways, you can send anything to me. That's stars with a Z, Cass, C-A-S, T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. It can be excerpts, poetry. You can do a promotion. I do press releases all the time. And just be sure to include an image and a link that you would like me to put in it, and we'll be good to go. It's not just a metaphysical, you know, it sounds like it's a metaphysical magazine, but it is spiritual. But, I mean, I have all kinds of things in it. I have lots of poetry. I have regulars who contribute every month. I have two gals that have a column, and it's really blossomed. It really has blossomed. And everybody knows my dream is to make it become a real magazine online. In other words, it's called the Flip E-Zine, where you would actually turn the pages from the corner and see something, and then, oh, a new world would open for me. I mean, I have my gal Judy, who's in South Africa. She would help me. We've already been in there and done some things, but it takes a lot of time to transfer everything and be able to launch it again. But then I'd be able to take, you know, classified ads and banner ads and promote. It would just open another door for me. But anyways, now my other site, starspsychics.com. Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That site has been around 12 years. I got the domain back in 1999, though, so I've had it forever. And I just, I'm at the final stages of getting it trademarked. Star Psychics, Your Future Awaits. Those words will be my trademark. In other words, nobody can use them. And it's taken about a year already, and we should be in the final paperwork kind of thing. The certification will come. Then we have the big job of going and changing all the TM that's next to the logo and making it an R because it'll be registered. So, and then, of course, I have my tarot cards that I will be able to print, 78 deck Star Psychics tarot cards. They are beautiful. If you go to the site, if you go to starpsychics.com, you'll see a fan of them. They're all watermarks, so nobody could take them, but these are the designs, and the company that's going to do it, they are in Florida, and the graphic designer called me and he said, I've done a lot of these, but I'm going to tell you there's just something about them. And I said, oh, you tell that to everybody. He said, no, I don't call everybody. But he said, it's just something looking at them. They're so beautiful. Well, I worked with a gal who did them in Spain, and she wanted to make them more like the original deck. You remember, everybody remembers the Rider-Waite. Well, the Rider-Waite is one of the old decks. And it just, you know, I just some of the cards I just really didn't like. And this Spanish girl, she said, oh, I thought you wanted it like that. I said, no, I want them to be beautiful. I want beautiful colors. I want turquoise. I want a hint of pink. I want deep blues. I want people to hold them and feel good when they look at them. And if they want to use them for readings, that's great. But there are a lot of collectors out there. Then she finally, it took me 2 years to finalize every picture. And, of course, it's got a interpretation book with it. So, but they take about 4 to 5 weeks to print and when all is said and done. So, and we also have a course on the site, how to learn how to read your own tarot cards. And that's done by my star, Amber. She teaches it. If you want to be taught with the course, and it's not expensive at all. And, of course, everybody's going to want to use the deck, so I'm not really pushing it too much. Anyways, that's enough of me. We have specials on the site at starpsychics.com. You can go over there and see the specials. And, you know, you get the personal touch, and you're part of a family when you join Stars. It's not like the other sites at all. I am one, I want to help people. I want to bring good things to the world. I'm not about the money. And a lot of sites, they are about the money, but that's okay. We are not. So I'm going to bring in my awesome, most awesome guest who's from France. Oh, gosh, wait till you hear her accent. She's beautiful. And I'm so excited to talk to her because of what her latest book is about and what we're going to be talking about is going to be right up everybody's alley. And I have some personal things to tell her, questions about, and it happened to me yesterday, believe it or not. Talk about a synchronicity, right? Anyways, I want to bring my awesome guest on, Lillian Fortna. Lillian, you pronounce your name. How are you today?
I'm great, and I'm very thankful you invited me to be on your program. Thank you so much.
No, it's an honor. And everybody, listen to her voice. Isn't it beautiful? And the French people can just, I don't know, there's something about it. Just something about it. Anyways, we're going to talk about all the things that you've written, several books and your latest book. But what I want to do, Lillian, is how did you get started writing? I mean, you know, I think everybody has a desire to write. They all, oh, I'd like to write. I have a fairy tale. I tell everybody this. And somebody said to me, well, you just need to sit down with pen in hand and write the dumb thing. Well, it's a story, and it really wouldn't be hard to tell. But how did you get started? How did you get into the world of books?
Well, first of all, I always have loved writing since I was a teenager, I would say. I even wanted to be a journalist, but at my age, when I was younger, my dad said, it's not a profession for women. So I had to, unfortunately, I was not able to do that, but that was my interest, to be a journalist and travel the world and write about it. But anyway, it's much later that I came back to writing. Actually, I was in my 50s when I decided to go back to the university just for fun. And I got a bachelor's in creative writing in English, just for the fun of it.
And for the fun of it. I couldn't even do it for the fun of it, Lillian. But go ahead. Okay.
You meet a lot of fun, and I wanted to learn. So I had a fantastic teacher who was teaching art at the university and history of art and also English. So she had me under her wings, and wherever we were, like at that time I was in Italy and we would travel a lot, she would ask me to write something about one painting I would choose in a museum in one of the rooms, and I only had 10 minutes to fill in a page, things like that. So it was a lot of fun because I had to write almost every day. But really, to write the book I wrote, Wings from Above, that came later. I had an illness for 18 months. I did not know what it was. I saw doctors after doctors. Nobody could tell me what it was. The only thing they could suggest is make a hole in my pants because I had a growth growing on the roof of my mouth. So they went open, cut and put a removable plug. And I said, no way, I'm not going to do that. So finally, I was depressed. And the last doctor I saw, I'm very thankful that he was so nasty because it brought me back where I should have been alone. He told me, well, in your case, oftentimes we have to remove the bone, which means the whole jaw would be gone and the teeth.
Ah!
Then you go through, you know, plastic surgery.
Too much, yes.
Well, not in there, it was close to the brain, and I was so scared. So finally, I was so angry that I started to think differently and said, I'm back, no more depress me. So I surrendered to what I had, not in the sense that I let my arms down and I was not going to do anything. Just the contrary. I had to face the situation and tell myself, okay, if you have 2 years, 1 year, 6 months, what is the most important for you to achieve before you go? And as I was in that mode, suddenly I had ideas that go back to Europe, because I live here in the States. Go back to Europe, contact your doctors over there and see, which I did. 2 weeks later, I had a response, and I was asked to fly over there. A young doctor was going to create a surgery that had never been done, but he wanted to see me, of course. So I saw him. He said, I am not going to remove bones or teeth. I'm going to do a surgery. Again, as I said, it has never been done. And the only thing, we don't know if it would work because we don't have any, nothing like that was done before, but I want to try. He did. That was 4 years ago. My face is intact. And that was fantastic. The thing is that I spent 1 month in the hospital. And I had plenty
of goodness.
Yeah, and I had a tube in my that was going through my nose directly into my stomach because I couldn't eat normal food at first. I was fed via liquid only. So I had plenty of time to think. And I thought, my God, I'm so lucky. Because after suffering for over a year and a half, suddenly I had the perfect doctor. But why? And I realized it's when I changed my attitude. And that led me to think about my life as far back as when I was a child. And so many things, my childhood was very painful, very, very bad. But I found joy in a lot of things, even though I could not talk to anybody. I would talk to other children or play with others. And I was always alone. But I had nature. I had the sea on one side of the garden and the forest on the other side. And because of that, I was always in nature, talking to the spirits of nature, talking to animals, etc.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
It was bad. I mean, if you look at it, you know, from the outside, it was bad. But really, I was able to do a lot, and I learned a great deal. So I wanted to share all that and how I continue to remain connected with the other side of beyond the veil as I grew up, because it started as a child. I didn't have any other way but I had to survive, and it really, and I wanted to bring that forth and said, well, wait a minute, everybody has that ability, everybody, children are born with, and typically they don't continue, they lose it around age six, because they learn different ways of believing, of behaving, etc. So they lose that connection. I did not really lose mine because when I became a teenager, I did not have the sea anymore because I went to Paris to boarding school. So the nature wasn't there. But art was there for me. So music, painting, and literature, all that came together, and it helped me to remain connected because it touched my soul as much as nature did when I was a young child. And then it continued through life, but I never asked myself a lot of questions. I just did because that's how I did as a child, and I went on and on. So I wanted to tell people that this is something that anybody can learn again. We just moved away from it because of education, because of the society, because of a lot of reasons. But it's right there for us. We just have to open our eyes. And how do we do that? So my book has three parts. First part is my childhood, just because to show that there is credibility in what I write, because I know what I'm talking about. The second part are stories of synchronicities, not only that happened but to others. And I start to ask people questions such as, it's called point to ponder after each little story. And I say, how about you? Have you ever experienced? And I bring back that little story. And
right.
If people find something, and oftentimes they do, it's not necessarily the same story, of course, but it's something that, it reminds them of something that happened to them. So I really want to help people through my book. And the last part of the book, I give what blocks us. So I have a whole list of the blockages, why we can't see anymore the signs, synchronicities,
right. And isn't it true, Lillian, that when you're young and little, you're more open. I think of a little child as being like kind of whimsical, like, oh, and mother says, well, who are you talking to? Well, I'm talking to my friend. But the mother can't see the friend.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So they are not, they have not experienced the negativity in the world. So, oh, what a great thing you did was to, and that's what you have to do is show people. Now, like for me, when I was a little girl, I was alone all the time. I was an only child. My parents worked. I always say that I was placed with them. They were just there to take care of me. It's a strange feeling. But I would have things happen, but I didn't pay any attention when I was a little girl. I talked a lot to whoever wanted to listen. I didn't know who was listening. I didn't see anything. But I think, you know, mm-hmm. when you're little like that, you can have your own little friends. And how do we know that they're not really something that this child can see or hear? Now, let's start at the very beginning here. Okay, so part mm-hmm. one explores a connection with your spirit guides and your angels. It can be anybody, correct? I always laugh, you know, and I'll say to my friends, I don't know who my guides are. I believe in angels. I believe in God. I obviously believe in Jesus, but he was a man. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? I have seen something, and I'll tell you about it. But that came when I was in my 30s. It wasn't when I was a little girl. But mm-hmm. my readers, the readers that I have, they'll say, well, let me ask my guys, and I'm thinking, I think my guys are on vacation. I could ask them until the sky falls, and I would never get an answer. But as you said, sometimes that's not the way, like for Natalie, to see or hear. Maybe she's not going to get a message like that. Maybe, it could be anybody, he's going to get a message in a different way. I'm real good at hearing. Now, yesterday mm-hmm. I sat on my porch and I heard four knocks like somebody was at my door. Mm-hmm. I even looked at my door wall because I thought somebody was there, but nobody was there. Now, mm-hmm. I can get that frequently. I get it a lot of times when I'm in the etheric, you know, in the point where before you wake up, and you're not really in a deep sleep. It's like that middle. I can hear phones ring, but it's not my phone ringing. But I to say to hear a voice, I don't hear a voice, Lillian. I don't.
You sense it. That's called clairaudience. That's a psychic sense. And in a psychic sense, you get what is being said without a real voice. But you know. You know what's being said. I mean, it's like you hear it, but it's with your inner ears. It's not the physical ears.
Right, like the knocks, the four knocks yesterday. Well, I knew what it was because it wasn't, nobody was knocking at the door. I was outside. I knew mm-hmm. it was something. But as far as the interpretation, talk about the animal kingdom. They are my friends. I feed ducks and their little babies. I feed deer at night. I have blue jays. Mm-hmm. I have cardinals. I have all kinds of the kingdom coming to me on my porch, more so than friends. I'm telling you this. So, you know, I told my son this. I said, when I go outside and I see the little babies, I call them little fuzzers because they're mallards and they're little babies, and they come running, scampering real quick. Oh, here's our food. She's got our food out. It is the most beautiful thing. It just makes me feel so good. And the moms sit there like, oh, yeah, we're back, you know. And they'll come back several times during the day, and they stay around here till about October because it's warm. I'm in South Carolina. But I told my son this, and he said, Mom, he said, you light up like a light bulb. I said, because you don't understand. And every time I have this happen, I thank the divine. Thank you for bringing this to me to make me feel so good inside. Nobody, and you know what it's like. If you don't experience, you don't know what it's like to have an animal, a bird, whatever it is, touch you in that way. Now, the four knocks, I don't even know what that was. It could have been, Natalie, listen up. I don't know. Or it could have been, we're here. You may not see us, but we're here. That could be, too, because I don't have anybody in my life. I mean, I have my son, granddaughter, and daughter-in-law. But you know what I'm saying? To be with me all the time. I have my animals. I have a cat. Big cat. I think that's my world. It's the animal kingdom is my world. I really do. It's amazing. So spirit guides and angels. So do we ever really learn about them? Like, say, you can use me as the example. I don't know. I don't have a clue who my guide is, and I don't have a clue. I know we all have guardian angels. I've read all about that stuff, you know, being in this field for umpteen years, I don't really apply it to myself because firsthand I can't tell you. I really can't. I don't know. So how does the spirit angel or spirit guides or the angels, how do they, if they are going to, communicate with you? And is it true that sometimes they never do?
Well, first of all, we have people. Probably a main one that you have that is there. I'm not speaking of angels. I'm speaking of spirit guides, but more like more in a human form, because, of course, you have the animals. You have things as well that are showing up, but that's sent by your spirit guides. But typically, yes, it's animals communicating with you. And then you have people communicating with you. And you also have the elementals, which are the spirits of nature. You know, it could be a tree. It could be a flower. It could be anything. Let me tell you a short story of a friend who was, I'm a healer, and I was in France, in Paris, and we're studying together. Then during the vacation time, she went to the mountains. And as she was hiking, she heard a little voice, like a child's voice, calling her name. She looked around. There was nobody. She was, you know, alone, taking a hike alone in the mountain where nobody was.
Yeah.
And the voice again and again. And so she looked around, and she could trace that voice coming from a little flower. And she's not
attached
to the
anything.
So she looked at the flower. She didn't know what it was. So she took a sample. And as she went down back to the small town, she went to the library to look for what is this flower. And she found out that flower is actually was actually used in the Middle Ages to make medication. I don't know what it was, but it was for medicinal purposes that it was used. So that gave her the idea to study plants. And now she does oils for treatment, essential oils. She has learned to create that, but that came from that little voice.
The voice put her to the flower, and the flower was like a little trigger, like, okay, you're going to look at, she started thinking, well, what is this flower? And it just guided her to what she's doing, and I really believe that. I don't know. I have seen something, and I'll tell you about it. And I know you're gonna love it. But I think a lot of people, like I have advisors who, I had one that was a medium and she passed away. She used to do the radio show with me. She was so gifted. And, of course, we were like sisters, so I was devastated. I didn't do the show for 3 months after she passed. I was just, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. But anyways, she would hear. And she, you know, she was so kind. I mean, because we were like sisters. She said, you can ask me anything you want. I'll see what I can find out for you, okay? I said, okay. So she would ask things. I would ask her things, and she'd find out. And she, when we did the, would do the radio show, afterwards she'd call and she'd say to me, that man was listening. And, well, I won't mention his name. That man was listening. And I, her name was Maya. I said, well, Maya, how do you know? She said, because I know I heard. I was told he was listening. So, but you know, and people have to understand when you are, when you do things like that, it, some can really put out the information. Others, like me, I can't. I don't do readings like that. I mean, I can do regular card readings. I started as an astrologer. So I guess that was what I was guided to do. But I'm not, and I always say I'm not gifted like them, but that's really not true. You shouldn't say that about yourself, I know. But, I mean, I don't hear. I mean, I guess I hear. I heard Fort Knox yesterday. But I don't hear voices. I don't see angels, except I did have one experience. And I will tell you that. And because we're talking about angels, I have no idea what it was. Well, Maya told me what it was when she, because it happened when she was alive. I was really, really ill. Really ill. They didn't know what to do for me. And I was bedridden. And I woke up one night, Lillian, and my room was glowing, this golden yellow, glowing. I mean, it was like there were lights on everywhere. But, of course, there weren't lights on because I looked around. I blinked my eyes and thought, oh, where is it? Who left the light on? No lights on anywhere. So now I turned around, and on the back of my wall was about a 7-foot crystal. That's where the glow was coming from. Now, mind you, I knew it was to heal me, yes. But I also knew, and I argued with some people that I, because I worked for this organization, oh, it was just to heal you. I said, no, I had to see it. There's a reason I had to see it. I could have been asleep, and it could have worked. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was awakened because I had to look at it. And Maya always thought, she said, well, it's either God, or it's one of his high archangels that has come to you. But she said, what changed in your life? And I said, really, nothing. I mean, it took years before I got into this field at all. I mean, I worked I worked and admired all these advisors, all these readers, you know, Lillian, they could read cards, they could read crystal balls, but I couldn't do any of it. I did was took the money at the door, and interviewed them to see if they were legit. But I in a way, I kind of envied them until this happened. And nobody could tell me what it was or what it meant, except for Maya. That was what she thought. Because she always felt, because of my life as a child, that I was placed with my parents. She said, and you were alone, but she said you weren't alone. You had several. You had an archangel with you, and you had angels with you all the time. And that's really where you were learning, who you were learning from, what you were learning from, I guess. Because I was really intelligent, but I kept it to myself. I didn't let the teachers know. I didn't let anybody know how smart I was, because when you're a little girl, you want to be invited to parties, and you want all the little boys to think you're pretty. And once you get the rap, as they say, of being a nerd, or they think you're a know-it-all, they don't want to bother with you. So I didn't tell anyone. So now something like that could happen to somebody else, but they really don't get a definitive answer as to what was it. Now, what do you think it was? I'm going to ask you so our listeners will know if it ever happens to them, and I hope it does. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing for me. I think it set me on a path But the path wasn't opened yet. I wasn't on it yet. It was in preparation,
well,
I think.
Sometimes you have things like that that are shown to you, and you're not ready because you have no clue what it is.
Right.
Yet if you think maybe of what you thought about an hour before, the day before, or in general the period you're in, it might be an answer or something leading to an answer to the questions you might have. For instance, when you have a bright light like that, first of all, what color light was it? Was it gold? Was it?
Yes, it was a golden yellow. My whole room was glowing. Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Okay.
When I got up the next morning, I drew it.
Oh.
So I wouldn't forget
it. It could be indeed an archangel. When I was wheeled away from my hospital room to the surgery room, my husband was following, but the orderly pushing my bed was by himself, and I felt that in front of me, and I could say on the slightly to the left, slightly to the right, beside me, I had three archangels: Saint Michael, who is always there for me when I need him, Saint Raphael, and Saint Gabriel. How do I know that? I don't know. You see, you can't always answer, but take things as they are, because there are so many things I can't understand in the situation, the human situation I'm in. There are so many things that are strange, I could consider strange. I'm not anymore. I just take them as they are. And I just, how do I feel? Well, if I feel fantastic, if I let whatever is around me, the sense of it permeate me, and I feel fantastic, I know that it's probably an archangel or one of my guides helping me. So I don't always question. Just for instance, when I see repeated numbers, which is also a sign for me, it's an angel sign, and it comes very often. For me, 333 and 1111. I mean, I see that almost every day. I know those are good. Those are excellent. So
yes, good, yes.
It's a bit different, then I will look. Otherwise, I just say, thank you. I just needed that. You know, it's encouragement, or we're here for you. So that's how I take it. And that's what I would like to teach other people, to simply be able to recognize the signs. And sometimes we don't, because we expect to have certain signs a certain way, and because it happens in a different manner, then
yes,
we don't recognize signs. And so we miss a lot, and that's why in my book, the last part of the book, the second part of the part three, actually, is exercises, meditations, etc. And I give very, very simple ways of reconnecting with yourself, because oftentimes we are disconnected and we can't connect with higher beings when we're like that. So I give very simple exercises that anybody can do. It doesn't cost anything except a little bit of time in the morning or even during the day, you know, or take a walk. But there are ways of taking a walk. You can take a walk while you are keeping yourself very mindful as you walk. You look at the trees, but a certain way, not just in passing. You just stay in the moment, and that helps you to reopen. You know, even some exercise also tell people dance, not like a dancer necessarily, but if you're outside, let's say you hear the wind, you hear the birds, and you feel like moving, if nobody is there and watch you, don't hesitate to move.
Right.
If you're home, just put the music and nobody's watching you. Just
oh, I dance. Do that all the time. Yeah.
It's great. Because afterwards.
But, you know, I sit on a porch that's open and everybody says, oh, you should screen it in. I said, no, I don't want to screen it in. No, I wouldn't get a clear view. I'm on my porch at 7:30 in the morning, sometimes earlier, because it's really warm here and you can sit out. I have my coffee with me and I just sit. And I watch. and I try not to think. I just look around and I listen. I see the birds, all kinds, and then of course when my two female ducks come with all their little babies, there's nine of them, and then at night I feed my deer. Now you're gonna laugh at this. It's really funny because I have a camera and it makes a sound when there's movement in the back. So I'll hear it and I'll say to my cat, "Uh-oh, they're here." And so I'll open my door well and poke my head out, and then there they are standing waiting. Well, where's our food? but it's the most beautiful thing to me. And it's I have something in the morning and during the day, and then I have them to look forward to at night. And, you know, there for a time I was stressed because I don't know why. And then because of business, it wasn't doing good. And then I started talking to whoever wanted to listen that you couldn't see. And I said, you know, I know that I am here for a purpose. I know that what I am doing is good. It's good for the world. I have beautiful people like yourself. I have a magazine. I have this other site. I have a lot of beautiful people that work for me. I know there's going to be a way, and I just got to hang in there. So sure enough, a few days later, that lifted from me because I talked it out. I mean, I was by myself. I was in the house, and, you know, I would be saying, okay, you know what? This is getting to be pretty tough here, guys. I need some help, you know. But when I'm in my kitchen, and my son has witnessed this, I have a high ceiling. My lights will blink even when they're not on. They'll blink on and off. And my son said to me, well, what do you think, Mom? And I said, what do you mean, what do I think? I said, just say hello. Nice to see you. Something. He said, well, who do you think it is? I said, well, it could be anybody who's passed. It could be my husband. It could be my mother-in-law and father-in-law. It could be my mother and dad, probably my dad, not necessarily my mother. But and all the relatives, it could be any one of them. He says, well, how do you know? I said, well, okay, if all the lights are blinking, one of them eventually is going to burn out. That means it's going to burn out. None of them have ever burned out. I said, so I'll stand there and I kind of like stick up for it. And he said, okay, so today he came for a sandwich because he's a limo driver. He has another company, but he also drives a limo. And he's sitting there eating his sandwiches. And he looks up and he says, hi, everybody. I mean, he talks to them now because I told him. I said, you know, once you recognize these little signs, and this is for anybody listening, once you recognize these, it's going to continue. Yes. They're reaching out, because I'm so alone some days that I would sit on the porch and cry at 7:30 in the morning because I really have nobody and I'm very lonely and it bothers me. But then I'll get all these animals and then I get these blinking lights and then I'll get somebody beautiful like you on the phone. And then, you step back and think, oh, don't be so stupid. You're not alone. And I thank God and Jesus every morning for bringing me another beautiful day. And at night, I say goodnight to both of them. Always. I always felt that when I was in the time when Jesus was alive, I have talked to a man who was from Jerusalem, and we were talking about it. He said, oh, my God, I have such chills. I said, I know I was there. I said, but I said, I was there because I was one of the ones gathering everybody to try to stop what was going on to him. But he told me, you need to stop. You are going to die. I am dying for all of you. This has to be. And I have felt that. I have just felt that with him. So these little things that happen, you can call them whatever, but synchronicities. Let's talk about synchronicities, Lillian, because those are things that oftentimes people don't even recognize. They don't get it. They don't, oh, no, that was a coincidence. There are no coincidences. You are on a show because Sarah mentioned you to me. Why? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I said, oh, yes. So you see what I'm saying? So explain. I have a caller. I don't know if you want to take it or not. But explain about synchronicity so people will understand that everything takes you someplace else. Everything, every little thing And I can tell you about this guest I'm going to have on my show at the end of August. I don't know how I got him, but he's a famous author who just did screenplays for two major movies. I got him. This guy wrote to me, you want him on your show? He wrote me himself. He said, I would love to be on your show. Lillian, I'm a nobody in the scheme of things. I'm not a famous, interviewer or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am something, I guess. So these are synchronicities. These are things that, right? Like, but this has been waiting in the wings for me all along, waiting. Okay, it's time. She can do this. She can do this. I mean, I never thought I'd be doing a radio show talking to somebody that I don't even know. I mean, I could talk hours to you. Okay, so let's get back to synchronicities. Tell people about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, synchronicities happen to all of us all the time. And it comes through signs, via somebody, via music, via a book, via TV, via whatever. In passing, you hear somebody say something to somebody else, and those words are exactly the answer to what you have in your mind at the time. I mean, there are so many, so many different ways. The thing is that most of us do not recognize synchronicity when it happens. We don't see the signs, or we see them, but maybe because of ego, we're better than that. No, that's not the right way. Or it could be fear. Fear, we are shown what we should do, but that's very scary, or that's very inconvenient because of timing, etc. There are always reasons why we should do something that is offered to us. And simply, some people don't want to believe in it because of their religious beliefs. So there are many, many different ways where people have synchronicities. It just doesn't register with them, unfortunately. So what I'm trying to do is bring back the people to a place where they can see, and not only see, but also be able to interpret and then use the synchronicities that are offered to us, I mean to them. For instance, a little thing that was very strange at the time. I just wasn't sure what to do about the doctors before I went to Europe. I had written to a doctor, my GP, back in Belgium, where I lived at the time. That was 5 years before, and he did not respond after 1 week, which was a bit odd. So I thought, well, maybe he has a new email address or something like that, or simply retired. Well, I was going to the gym. It was pouring rain. And I wanted to park, of course, as close to the door, to the entryway as possible. And I saw a car was going to pull out. Well, okay, so I waited. And then as I was waiting, a car passed me and parked two slots further, which would have been closer to the door anyway. And I thought, wow, I could not even see that it was right there under my nose. And that took me to, wait a minute, you wrote to the wrong doctor. Write to that doctor instead. You know, don't move so fast. Think before you do something, which I did. I wrote to a surgeon, and he responded within a few days. I had a response from him. So it's to tell you that sometimes signs do come from a way that is very unexpected, like parking, rain. I didn't see the park, the space I could have taken, which meant a bit closer, and that took me to a place totally different for me to operate from. So just an example, and then I followed guidance, and it worked. So sometimes it comes from different ways. You just don't always understand at first. One thing I tell people, those who write a journal or a diary, go back to your diary And each time you see something that was odd, that was weird, a little strange, each time you see words like that, read what it's all about, because very likely it's something you did not understand at the time, but it was important enough for you to write it down. So that might be a sign, a synchronicity that you had, and it leads you to something else maybe a few months later, maybe a year later. It happened to me. Sometimes it skipped a few years, and then, whoa, but it started 3 years ago, you know, things like that. So it's really very interesting to go back to diaries or journals, because you can find things that you have experienced but you did not realize what it was then.
That's true. You know, I, as a little girl, I did have a diary. I still have it. I haven't looked back. Oh, it was, you know, I was probably like in sixth grade or Jim called or stupid stuff, you know, because you're a kid or like going into your teen years and all of that. But when I think back to my childhood, I was quite the loner. But it was my own fault because I didn't want people to know how intelligent I was. It was my own fault in a sense. Mm-hmm. But I had this teacher, and I think it was in, I don't know, when do you start handwriting, whatever, third grade, whatever it was, and you had mm-hmm. to do your caps, your capital letters a certain height and the small lowercase ones a certain way, mm-hmm. and they wanted you to, you know, do the A a certain way and all of that. Well, yours truly had a flair and very creative, and I started doing things. I mean, she would say something to me. She'd lean over and she'd say, you know, you really have to stay in the lines and you have to do it this way. And she'd walk away mm-hmm. and I think to myself, but why? Why? I don't want to do that, right? Okay, well, I did it enough. And she told me this. I did it enough. She went home to her husband to tell him, you know, I can't stop her from, you know, like her. I still do it to this day. My L's are very big and swirly, my N's, my A, that's just what I do. He told her, he said, why don't you just leave her alone and let her do what she wants to do, because obviously she is steps ahead of your other students. That's what he told her. She came and she told mm-hmm. me that Monday. She said, well, I had a little talk to my husband. I thought, oh, she's going to give me an E or whatever it was, a U or whatever, you know, not doing good, whatever the mark was going to be. And she mm-hmm. she leaned over to my desk and she knelt down and she said, you know what? I'm going to let you write any way you want. I mean, I thought she was going to smack me. Now, you know what I'm saying? I thought she was going to reprimand me. I didn't even know I knew what reprimand was, but I thought she was going to say, now you have to conform to what everybody else is. And she said, no. She said, you can write any way you want. So from that day on, and I still do it, and I'm much older, everybody mm-hmm. compliments me on my handwriting. Mm. You know, but then I had little things happen to me that were probably showing me things. I was an independent kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was a leader in the neighborhood. I won't tell you the story about hitting this kid in the face. But I was little, but I was mighty. And kids followed me. Even though I didn't want them to, they did anyways, because it wasn't that I was a leader. It was that I was showing them the right way to do things, not the wrong way. And mm-hmm. and I was very – but you see, it goes back to Liliana, how smart I was, you see. And I – even then, I mean, my parents didn't even know what I could do, because I read a lot because I was home alone all the time. All the time. So can you imagine the angels and all the spirit guides that were talking to me that I didn't even know? I didn't even know, but I can only imagine what I was being taught.
You know, I have an image of your guardian angel with his hands over his eyes saying, oh, God, here she goes again.
I love that. I love it. I'm going to remember that forever. Oh, God, here she goes again. Oh, my. She's off on her little trip again. Yep. I knew I was going to have you on the show, but I really didn't look at your book or anything, and I have to have Sarah send it to me. But anyways, I didn't go into depth, so I don't like to do it until the morning of my guests because it's fresh and I have fresh material. But I have been watching more closely the last few weeks. I'm kind of showing my son. Now, I'm going to see my granddaughter tomorrow. She's 19. And she's like me. She's a believer of everything. She'll tell me, Graham, she says, you know, guess what I saw? You know, she loves to tell me these little things. I think I saw Grampy. She explains it. I mean, but she was doing this when she was a real little girl. She'd take me in another room. Yeah, I got to tell you something. Oh, it's important. And I go in and I kind of smile because I think, uh-oh, here's going to be one of her little stories. And she thinks it's a story, but it's really real. I think if we start recognizing things, we'll continue to recognize. And doesn't it become more, it's more in your surroundings, like as if an angel or a guide is saying, oh, she knows what that is now. Okay, now I can show her other things because she's in tune. Is that true?
Yes, and there will be period. It's like between the other side of the veil and us. That veil can be very thick and very dense and very dark if we let it be. For instance, when we are depressed, it's like a big cloud around us, and we can't see the light through it.
Yes.
So it's important to keep ourselves in a position where we are open-minded, open.
So the veil has to be light, open. Not heavy, not dark, so that they can connect with you, correct?
Exactly. And what I'm preparing now, because I have had parents who read my books, and I got great feedback from some of them, and they said, their young children would also greatly benefit from hearing the same messages written, of course, in a style for them.
Oh, yes.
So I've started my next book, and it will be the first in a series that is specifically written to inspire children to believe in themselves and their potential. And there will be illustrated stories, and I plan to do all the illustration myself. And I have.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
And I think mid next year would be a good bet because, in the meantime, I'm also creating an online 8-week seminar based on my book because people have actually asked me. In my town, there was actually a book club. After they read, they said, are you teaching? They begged me to teach. So I started a course with them, which allows me to build the eight week course once a week online, and then probably some live weekend seminars and so. But I want the words to be out. I want my message to be out that it's easy. It's not complicated at all, and everybody has the capability. That's what I want people to understand. I'm not special. I just had to deal with certain
things. Oh, I'm looking at your picture. No, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm looking. What a beautiful lady you are. What a beautiful lady.
Oh,
the picture you have on your site. And there's a softness about you. You know how sometimes I've talked to almost 300 different authors and entertainers, and I've seen them all. And your picture just, it's enlightening, and it's kind of like you're saying, listen to me, I can show you the way. I can show you. I love it.
Yeah,
but I love you. People need to hear you. They need to hear your voice because I can understand you clearly. Some people I've had on that have that I've been from France, Germany. Sometimes it's just so hard to understand. Not you. But there's something, there's a gentleness about your voice, and I think it's really important. People are very lucky that, and I'm very lucky that they can listen to you. So now online course, is it going to be online through your website? Is that what you're going to do?
Yes, probably. What I will, I'm going to post something today or so and asking people to just sign up for a newsletter, actually, because there is, of course, that series of books for children. I was also asked to write something for teenagers, which, of course, would be different because it has to be a larger book, not a small book.
Right.
Fairy tales. To find something else.
Yeah, my fairy tale. Cool. You'd love my story. I have a beautiful story, and I don't know. But, you know, every author has always said to me, when you're supposed to write the book, you're going to write it. There's going to be something that's going to happen. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to start it today. And I think that's true, and I haven't gotten that feeling. I really, actually, my granddaughter is going to Savannah College of Art and Design, and she's really good with illustrations. And I'm going to talk to her again tomorrow about it. She would be perfect to draw what I want. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
But I don't know. I have to put. I started the story, but how did you start your first one? I mean, my goodness, that's got to be such a challenge, was it? I mean, or did you just sit down and journal away, or did you devote so many hours a day? How did you do this?
Well, first of all, I was in the hospital bed, so I couldn't run away.
Yes, that's true. You had time.
I had my computer with me. And my journal. So what I did when I realized that I was really very lucky to have what I had, to have found a young doctor who created a surgery for me that had never been done, and to find the place where I was. I mean, it's a great hospital. I did not ask for anything but a single room. I wanted to be by myself because I knew I would stay quite a long time. So, I wanted to be by myself. But they gave me the best room. I'd never asked for that, which means that the 8th floor, I had view on the old town of Brussels, the old part of town.
And
then I had view on a special tower from the 12th century that is perfectly maintained. And you know what? At night, oh, my God, I could see light in some of the windows.
I would have loved that. I love old stuff. So does my granddaughter. We're like drawn to it, isn't it? Must have been beautiful.
But listen to that. So there was a simple little light here or there. Then I would look maybe a couple of hours later because with a tube going through my nose, it would wake me up sometimes. So anyway, and from my bed laying down, I had view on the tower. So it was wonderful. But the lights had moved. They were maybe in another floor. So I asked the nurses. I took pictures. I asked the nurses. And nobody knew anything. And it's empty at night. It's a museum during the day. So when I get out of the hospital, I'm going there. And I'm going to ask people if it's normal, if somebody leaves or stays, there is a guard.
Exactly.
So I went. And the lady, I found out in a very strange way. I was asking, I wanted to know the tower and lights at night. And the lady said, you have to talk to the manager. Oh, here she is. The manager was just passing by. I mean, it's a large place, okay? She was on her way to the elevator. And so I talked to the manager, and she said, no, it's old. We close at 7 o'clock at night. It doesn't open until 10 in the morning. I said, but cleaners, well, they come at 9 in the morning, something like that. I mean, or 8. Anyway, so nobody was in the building during
the night.
But
you were seeing the lights.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Great entertainment. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay. You probably clicked up your heels and said, yes, I know what I saw. Yes, I have my proof.
Yeah,
oh, I would have been so excited too.
Yeah, that was so exciting. And 2 months later, I was back to Paris because I had to see the doctor again. And in the morning, we said, oh, we're going to Paris for the day because it's only an hour and 20 minutes away. So very early morning, like 6 in the morning, I was going to take a very early train. We're walking from the hotel to the train station, passing by that tower. And as we were approaching, I told my husband, I said, I wonder if there will be lights. Okay, so we passed the tower. I lifted my eyes, and way on top, and it was 6:15 maybe in the morning. It was fully lit.
Oh my gosh!
Nobody is in the building. And if somebody were in the building to clean, they would leave light elsewhere, but way on top. So I said, okay, well, I winked and waved and said, okay, thank you.
Hi, I see you. Oh, God, how wonderful.
You know
what a great thing to happen to you. Now, I've never had anything like that happen except my crystal showing. And I'm trying to think of, I did hear something. But go ahead.
Read my book. You will have a lot of examples that might trigger, and that's why I told many stories.
Yeah, I'm going to write to Sarah and tell her I need to get this book. She'll send it to me. She just hadn't yet. But I got to tell you this. My friend Maya that was on the radio show with me, okay, now about 10 days before she passed,
mm-hmm.
I heard during the night a harp.
Oh.
Like somebody strumming a harp. Yes.
Yeah.
So she called me every day. We talked every day. And I said to her, Maya, I got to tell you what I heard. I said, I heard it. She said, well, what was it, an angel? I said, I don't know, but somebody, I didn't see it. I heard it. Somebody was strummed one time a harp. And she said, what do you think it was? Because she always asked me, what's your interpretation? I said, well, I don't know. It's a message. The angels are giving me a message because I associate a harp with angels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 10 days later, she passed. That's what it was.
Heavenly message, you know. That's
yes.
Why you just have to open. The more open-minded you are towards all these things, the clearer the vision of what's happening will come to you. Because if you are expecting something, you expect it under a certain form, a certain time, etc. And
it's not going to happen. No, you're right. This was while I was asleep. I was in the etheric, you know, just before you wake up. Like when I would hear my phone ring or other things like that. But it wasn't my phone ringing. I've also heard, you've probably heard of this, the three knocks of death. I've heard that before and somebody would die. I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Big, loud, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. So, but I haven't heard anything. But I've been so tired.
I'm saying sometimes you don't hear anything because either nothing is happening or maybe it comes to you, but in another way.
Yeah, but, you know, my sleep habits have changed. I don't have my TV in my bedroom anymore, so I'm having to – I like to fall asleep with the television. I love movies, and so I have to be in the living room. So it's not really comfy for me. I think I'm going to get more once I move back into my bedroom. I mean, I go there, but I'm not – I mean, I fall asleep right away, but I'm not sleeping like I used to. Even my cat is not behaving the same way because he's wondering what in the world's going on here. But I think – I did hear those little knocks yesterday. They weren't loud. It was like somebody knocking at a door, not at my window, but at a door, because I wasn't by the door. I was by a door wall, which was a pane of glass. It was four of them. Now, that's been a long time since I heard something at all, and I kind of looked over and I said, okay, thank you. Is this some kind of an announcement or – I must have to be aware of something. And then I kept thinking, well, it's four. Maybe it's the number four. Maybe four things you know, you start to think, well, what does it for me? Maybe something, four things are going to come my way, four happenings. But I will tell you this, Lillian, since that time when my business was going so bad, I thought I was going to lose everything. And I had these little talks. I have talks with God and Jesus and my dissertations every day. And I'll say, you know, I'll go through these doors, but you got to present them to me. They can't be invisible. I have to see them. I have to know. But I know I'm doing the right thing. Then all of a sudden, and I don't know what it was, maybe a week later, that feeling was totally gone. And I dug in my heels because I think I realized, I was thinking better too, that I have a purpose, because I'll talk to God and I'll say, now I know you have something special for me to do because I'm still here and I'm very healthy. And I may not know what it is, but I'm, when I'm ready for it, you'll make sure that I have it. I'm sure of it. The more you believe and the more you are witness to things, the more you believe. That's what I have to say. You know, but I get so many skeptics out there, and you know, I'm running this, and I'm not going to say what's running, but I'm running some ads on Facebook, and I get these people that will put evil faces and, oh, this is a scam, and, I mean, I report them. I don't even respond. I would really love to respond to them, but I don't. I just say, okay, you don't like it. You say something nasty to me, I'm reporting you to Facebook. That's it. So they're probably in Facebook jail, for all I know, because Facebook doesn't take a liking to that. If you get an ad and they approve it, they stand behind you. So if I report you, you better be ready. You're going to be gone because I do a report on you. And but you know, at first it was disheartening to me. It was hurting me. And I kept thinking to myself, why are these people so negative? And then I was starting to think to myself, well, you know, evil does as evil do. You know, they just, these people obviously have things going on in their life that they're not happy about. So they have to reflect upon somebody else. You and I are very spiritual. We would never, you look at something, oh, I really don't like it, but you would never put an evil face. You would never do it, and I would never do it. But there are people out there, that's how they express themselves. But they don't realize how it hurts.
There is one thing I've learned throughout the years, and for instance, there were several people in my childhood who were really very nasty, but once I understood why they were nasty, it had nothing to do with me. It was to do with their own pain.
Yeah.
And I had to do an exercise for somebody. One time I was trying to do something, and for month and month, there was always something coming up between that project and me. And nobody could understand. My lawyers could not understand why everything was in place. I mean, it was back in Belgium.
Right.
The government, sometimes the regulations sometimes are very complicated, but everything was fine. Until I told myself, I said, wait a minute, it seems like there is somebody behind who's trying to prevent that. Or maybe they are not trying to, but there is so much negativity towards me that it reflects because it does.
Yeah.
So I did not want to accuse the person I was thinking about. So I sent details without naming the person to a medium back in Paris, a friend of mine, and one back here. I live in Virginia, back here. And both of them came up with the same idea, which I was right. So knowing that, I said, well, you still can't accuse. Sometimes the person is so much in pain that when that person thinks about you, sometimes there is a lot of negativity by jealousy, by whatever. So don't take it personally.
Well, that's what I've been doing. I just, you know, if it's an evil face and there's no comments, I just block them. But if they leave a comment, like, I don't think Jesus would like this, blah, 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 oh, then I report them. Don't go telling me what I should be believing in. You keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm a little Catholic girl here. I believe in the angels. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Don't even go there with me I mean, I sometimes I stopped getting upset about it because I thought to myself, well, this isn't doing any good. Just report them and off they go. That's it. And that's what happens. And it makes you feel a lot better. Trust me.
let me finish the whole thing about what happened, because that led me to something that I would advise people to do if they can. It's not easy. But people who hurt me, so instead of being accusatory or having bad feelings towards them,
right,
what I've done, that person, which reflected afterwards to everybody else that came before her, is that I knew her story. I had known her for about 20 years at that time. And she had a very miserable life. And I'm not surprised that she was envious or, you know, had some jealousy towards me. But I said, what is the antidote to hatred? It's love.
Oh, it is. Yeah, so, yeah. You throw love at them. Exactly. And
in the morning, what I do in the morning, then I dance, and then I create with my hands in front of my heart. I create something like it starts with a crystal, let's say a clear crystal. It's beautiful, and I make it go and grow until it becomes like a balloon. And I elevate it in front of my face, and I put all the love, everything I can inside. Then I blow on it and send it to the person, where that person is in the world. I send it as a healing to that person. So I did that almost every day towards that person. Then I went back to that person, who was so nice towards me. I could not believe it. So I was waiting for things to change. It never did. So I told myself, I said, oh, my God, this works so beautifully. So let's use it for other things, towards other people. So now instead of forgiving somebody, I thank the people. Because you forgive is one thing. It makes you feel better. But if you thank the people, you realize that you would not be who you are if you did not have the difficulties that were put upon you when you were younger or whenever.
Yeah.
Because of that, I have to react. It made me become who I am. So instead of being angry at these people, keeping anger alive, I thank these people for whatever happened, because it helped me to become who I am today.
Well, so yeah, and that's really true, you know. And then I noticed all of a sudden I get more thumbs up, I get more hearts, I talk to the gal who writes a lot of my ads. There's two of them. And we talk on this app, and she said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, first of all, I said, you know, I've been in business since 1998. I think I know what I'm doing. So I really cannot consider any of these little comments to be anything of importance. I said, I'm doing what has been asked of me. Really, I am. You know, I do most of, this is all for nothing. I don't get a paycheck or anything, but I love what I do. I love talking to people like yourself. I don't charge anything. I just don't. So I said to her, so obviously I'm doing the right thing. And she said, well, all you can do is block them. And I said, but if they say something nasty and I remove it, that post is not allowed to be there. I do report them, because they probably go around and post all these nasty things to people, and it's not right. Mm-hmm. They should not be doing that. Keep it to yourself. Yeah. Keep it to your friends. I don't even know these people. They don't even know how great I am. So I'm actually getting less of them now. I don't know. It's a good thing. It's really a good thing. But she said, well, how are you treating this? How are you feeling about it? I said, in the beginning I was hurt. I said, but I'm not hurt anymore. I'm just going to continue on, because I know what I'm doing is God's work. I know what I'm doing is right. I'm not hurting anybody. Mm. I love life. I love people. I love animals. I love, you know, and I just know, you know, I have a great son. I have a great granddaughter. My daughter-in-law is great. I have a goddaughter who treats me like her mother because her mother is no longer with us. That was my best friend. I have, and I have another friend. I have all of these things around me and these beautiful animals of the wild kingdom, all of them that love me. I have a poet that said to me, because he writes for the magazine, and I post pictures on my Instagram, and he said, I have to tell you, you know why they come to you, don't you? And he's from India, and his name is Sanjay. I said, no. I said, you tell me, Ron, I'm laughing, you know. He said, because they love you. They know you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they come to you. That's why the deer wait for you at night, because they trust you. They know. And I talk to them. I mean, if my neighbors heard me, they think I was nuts. I'd say to them, okay, now I got some extra goodies. Sometimes I'll put peas in there. Sometimes I'll put grapes. And I have a corn, but I have another pellet. I don't just give them that. Corn is not good for them totally. And I'll put it out, and they just stand there and they wait. And the little ones will come up to me. They're brave, you know. But and then when I go back in the house, I'll say, now, I want you to be careful. Go back into the woods from where you came. Don't go in the road because you could get hurt. My son laughs. My son laughs at me. He says, can you imagine if your neighbors are listening? I said, oh, no, that's Natalie. She's talking to the deer again.
Well, we have deer, too, and lately they came with two fawns. Oh, they're so cute. They still adore.
Aren't they sweet? They're the sweetest thing. I don't have fawns. I think I have two alligators in my lagoon, though, say, and I think they keep...
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I think one of them was, he must have been 8 foot, and then there was another one that was about 5 or 6 foot, and the 8 foot one came off the bank. I heard all the water splash, and he went after the smaller one. I haven't seen the smaller one. Only the big one is in there. But, you know, they're under the water, and they can stay underwater. I've read all about them for 11 hours, and you don't even know they're there. So when the ducks come.
If you look carefully and it's nighttime, they come up for air. So what you do is
another
flash.
They do. And the water here is really warm. And but you could see their heads, part of their heads. And one of them was really close to my house, was on the bank. I mean, it's a man-made lagoon. I don't live in this fancy place. But he was on the, he looked like something prehistoric. And my son kept laughing. And he says, Mother, you should hear yourself talk about these things that are so dangerous. I said, yeah, but in a way they're beautiful. They're prehistoric looking. They have these bumps.
That's how you hunt them. Because I lived in the Amazon for a while. I was studying a tribe, so I stayed with the Indians. They eat alligators. They eat all kinds of things we don't eat. But anyway, so to get an alligator at night, you have a flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
Underwater, then the eyes, you see the two eyes.
The eyes are up there. You know, I'm careful at night when I walk on my porch, though. But I talked to my son a lot about this. I told him, he said, well, you better be careful. I said, yeah, but the deer are all there. And I don't think the deer would be there if he was lurking. I think they would scatter. I think they would run.
Mm-hmm.
I am careful when I walk out. I have all the lights on around me on my house. And I'm very, very careful. Ever since I saw them in my lagoon, they weren't there last year that I saw, but this year they're here.
Mm-hmm.
But it is extremely hot here right now. We have, the heat index is high, but it's not tropical like Florida, but it's subtropical. So it gets really, really hot and humid. But at night, I mean, it can be smothering. But I'm very, very careful. I step out. And I look around, and I have all the lights on everywhere, all the corners of my house, because they could be anywhere. They were on one of my neighbor's porches, not my neighbor, but in the subdivision. They were on the porch. So I am super careful, you know, super careful.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I have a frog. I have several frogs. I built a little pond 4 years ago, and a month after it was built, I had about 50 tadpoles. Then last year, out of nowhere, a big frog showed up. It looks like a bullfrog, but it's actually a green frog. They're slightly different. Beautiful. It's the body is copper, and it has a red stripe underneath the mouth. It's very beautiful.
Oh.
And so I talked to her. I called her Fifi, Fifi the frog. And oftentimes, I sit beside her. I mean, I'm less than a foot away, and talk to her. The meaning of life, you know.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about frogs. I used to have this one that would sit on my threshold. So when I opened the door wall, I mean, it would run, but it would be sitting there. Now I have little ones, and then I still have this big one. I've never seen so many this year compared to the other years. I've got a lot of them. But they kind of just sit there and watch, and, you know, and I don't shoo them off. Well, if they're too close to the door, I do kind of shoo them off. Fine, you got to get away. I don't want you in my house. I'll have one heck of a time trying to stop you, catch you, put something over you so I don't hurt you. But it's really strange. And I do that too. I talk to the deer and my little girls that come, the two female ladies, the mallards are beautiful. I don't see any males. I did not see any males. They're called drakes. I did not see them this year. However, and the babies look to be all females. Isn't that strange? The males, you know, they come in and they mate and then they take off. You know, they don't care. They just hit the road, Jack, we're gone. But the females, if you watch the two big ones, one is always on guard. She stands up really straight and she's always looking around. It's the most beautiful sight. Beautiful sight. I love it. They'll probably come back this afternoon now. But there were quite a few days I didn't see them.
Yeah, we also have foxes and groundhogs and raccoons, turtles. It's fun. Our backyard, we let it wild because it attracts, you know, a lot of animals. The rest.
Now, where do you live? Where are you at?
Charlottesville, where the University of Virginia is.
Oh, you're in Virginia. Okay, yes, okay. You're north of me, northwest of me, yeah.
Yes, where Monticello is. Jefferson's residence. It's a beautiful
area. Isn't it a beautiful feeling that you've got all of this wildlife, and they're there, and, I mean, and, you know, they're very devoted. They're better than friends.
Yes, and we have a lot of tree frogs, so I talk to them at night because they're very noisy.
Yeah, I do, too.
Noisy.
Oh, my God.
So, listen.
That's it? That's what you do to them?
Yep.
How cute is that?
And there is so many tree frogs here are very noisy. That's so it's funny because sometimes I hear one that stop, and then three, four are responding, and I'm, oh, my God, I don't know what I said. I hope it's okay.
How cute. So sweet. Okay, well, we have about 6 minutes left. We've gone almost an hour and a half, but I have loved every moment talking to you, and I'll promote this after. We put this out. My gal started to do ads for the guests that are coming in. She put it out one day, and then she put it out yesterday, and she put it out again today. And a lot of times people will listen to the broadcast after. You know, they might be at work or whatever. But what a thrill. And when you do your online course, I'm going to tell Sarah, because I don't have your email address, but when I'm going to talk to Sarah, I'm going to tell her I want to be in contact with you because I want to know when you have your online stuff going. And she's going to send me your book because I have to read it. I just have to. Because it will be inspirational. And that's what the publicists do. You know, I'll have their...
You know
Pardon
what
me?
I could do? If you give me your email, what I could do is I still have a couple of codes for Audible. My book is also an audiobook.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Would you like to receive one? I could send you the code today. I mean, and then
yes,
you can listen
to it. Yes, okay. I can tell you my email address, but I don't want to put your email address over the air. So what I'll do,
oh,
I
yes,
could have...
Yes.
I could have Sarah send you my email address, okay? And then we'll take it from there. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, I get to listen to you. I can't wait. And when you do this other book, you have to promise me you are going to be back on my show. That is a given. That is it. I will not take no for an answer.
We'll see what happens, but I really want to start the books for children because I play a lot with my granddaughter who is five, and I teach her a lot of things like communicating with animals. For instance, last year, we were very afraid of a stink bug. And she wanted to sit in the area of the garden, but there was a stink bug right there, you know, crawling on the grass. So she said, no. I said, look, put your hands, both hands on your heart and close your eyes. She did. I said, now, can you see the stink bug in your mind? Can you see it with your eyes closed? Yes. I said, now you talk to her. You can tell her something. You know it's her home, and she has all the right to be right here because it's her home. But you'd love to play right there, and she scares you a bit. And so she was in the process of saying all that. And as you were saying that, I just saw the ladybug, the stink bug was moving away, and said, "Olivia, look." She opened her eyes, and you know the beautiful face that a child will do when they are so
surprised. Yes.
Oh,
isn't that precious? You need to teach her French. Teach her French.
Yes, well, she is as well. But and I said, you can do that with almost anything. When something is wrong, put your hands on your heart, close your eyes, and think if it can be a person, it can be a situation, it can be an animal. And so anyway, and I dance with her. I teach her to dance with the wind and the birds.
Oh, my gosh, how beautiful.
Then she can move, or she listens to the twittering of the birds, and she moves according to the rhythm. Or
how sweet.
On the beach, to move with the waves, you know, go up and down and move through the waves, et cetera, all that. Because that's something in her body. It's independent of music she can listen. It's something that it's her and nature. And one thing I really stress for people is get back in touch with your inner child. Because our inner child deal with us, it never ages. And it has...
Well, you know, I had a friend that told me my inner child, I was a princess. I said, why do you say that? She says, because sometimes you can be a brat. Listen, I have to close the show because we're going to get cut off, and I don't want to do that. But I am so happy we got to talk. I haven't talked to anybody this long ever on my shows, never.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're wonderful. And I'm writing to Sarah right now, and I want to tell everybody this is how I always end my show. And that is, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I will say goodbye. And I don't think I have any guests for next week. Maybe not. Maybe. We don't know yet. Not scheduled. But thank you, Lillian, so much. I love you dearly. I just wish I could meet you and give you big hugs because you're an inspiration. So with that, I'll say bye to everybody. Okay, 90 seconds. She's going to cut us off. Okay, talk to you soon. I'm going to have Sarah write to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Natalie.